Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Star Wars, Ed. This should be a popular video.
We'll see.
Where should people find your work?
Patreon.com/EdPiskorsWorm serialized in my current comics project, Red Room. You can see some logo treatments right here, babe, because it's going to see a paper edition this year. It's a new year, Jimmy, 2021. I've been teasing it for a while. It's going to see the light of day pretty soon. There's going to be news on that later, man. But the idea of the comic is murder is happening on the dark web for fun and profit. People are enjoying this stuff. You'll see the chat room here talking about the things that they're donating bitcoins to watch these videos and shit occur. There are two stories that are on the Patreon right now for the early adopter. $3 gets the archive. So, you know, check the stuff out.
Very awesome. I am now on Patreon. You can find me at patreon.com/JimRugg. You can find PDFs of some of my zines and comics there for download. Some of the stuff that's out of print and impossible to find, I've made available. You can also see a lot of my comics in progress. So like Street Angel, most of Street Angel went up on my Patreon ahead of time. You know, writing process, all of the stuff that you come to admire if you follow me on social media, patreon.com/JimRugg. But Ed, we're going to dive into some Star Wars today. I came to Star Wars late, so I don't have that cult fan feelings towards Star Wars that a lot of people do. My interest here is Klaus Janson just delivering a badass-looking comic, starting with the cover. This is Star Wars Annual number 3 from 1983. Janson will be providing the line art and color. And I assume that he did that on this cover as well, because I just think it's striking, this use of color. And I think that that's something that a lot of times, if an artist colors themselves, they may have those very specific ideas on not just the line art and composition, but also how color can help sell that. And of course, I like Vader. You know, I may not know Star Wars as well as most, but I certainly recognize the iconic quality of this character. And I think that's a great drawing.
Busting out the duotone board too, man, which is something that's near and dear to my heart, man. This comic is near and dear to my heart. I've read it a couple of times throughout my life. It was collected more easily for people who couldn't afford these early ones, because, you know, there's a big market for Star Wars stuff. Dark Horse reprinted these in like a digest format, so I read it in black and white.
Oh, interesting.
And also very small, you know, little square format things, man. Happy to give it a new reread. This is one of our first like major kind of like licensed comics that we're talking about here. And it sort of reminded me of all the things that annoy me about licensed comics.
Good.
And we'll certainly get into it. And you know what, man, I empathize and sympathize with all the creatives involved when it comes to that, because not only do you have to pass the muster of your regular, in this case, Marvel editors, you know, Louise Simonson and Jim Shooter there, but now you have to, like this Star Wars comic is such a boon to Marvel that they are going to fucking lick George Lucas's ball sack to make him happy. So you got to make sure that, like, Lucasfilms is okay with what you're doing too. And you know they're not going to be prompt with their okays, so you probably have less of a deadline than your average Marvel comic. These things are a nightmare to produce.
You know what? I didn't even consider that, Ed. One of the things I love about this comic is we go flipping through it. You'll see it at home. The drawing has a certain loose quality, and I think it's beautiful. But it could be, you know, a lot of these things that I look at and go, stylistically, I like that. There's probably a reason for it.
Yeah.
And a really tight deadline would be a reason, because some of the drawings are loose, you know, these landscapes that almost look like paintings to me, and I really like how they look, but I do think they represent a faster drawing style too. So maybe a side effect of what you're describing, you know, with doing a licensed comic that has to go through some exterior editorial passes. Before I flip further, I just wanted to point out Burger Time as, like, you know, you said you had read this as a reprint in Dark Horse. So many of these comics, you know, when possible, I like to look at the original objects to give that context. And things like ads, I think, really give you a snapshot of when and where this is. Early video game ads, Atari 2600 video game, to give you some perspective of when people would have been buying this off the newsstand.
Yeah.
And you know, what you would have been competing with for their attention.
Here's the thing that's very cool about this comic. It's called The Apprentice. And it's kind of a swerve almost, man. Like you see this little guy show up in almost every panel where you see Vader. And it could lead you to think certain things.
Yeah, Joe Duffy, the writer who would go on to work for Marvel for probably a decade or more, right?
Translator for Akira.
Yeah, quite an interesting resume.
Writer of Catwoman.
For her.
Writer of Glory for Rob Liefeld.
Wow, yeah. You're going deeper on her than I realized. So, story is that the Empire is going after this planet where I guess they're manufacturing AT-ATs and maybe having some troubles. And so they're going there to investigate these troubles.
Yeah, some rebels are involved, man. Like, Luke is there potentially. And here are the beefs. I mean, you could just keep flipping unless you got something specific to say. But here's the beefs with these kinds of, like, licensed comics. Because they all function the same, right?
Menudo.
Which one? Where's Ricky Martin? I think I see him right there. There he is. You got to get all the same movie stuff. So, like, they would do that, right? Like, you're going to have your force chokes. There's probably a force choke in every issue of the thing, man. When we present our AT-ATs, you're going to have the little leg sweep kind of gimmicks.
By the way, Apprentice shining up his boot, and he's startled and falls down. You see his reflection in Vader's boot.
Yeah, real Friar Tuck-looking guy. Look at those colors, baby. Look at that city.
This is the stuff that doesn't look like a Marvel comic to me that I got real excited about whenever I only read this for the first time recently.
Yeah.
And I love all of this. This is the part that I allude to looks like a painting. The landscapes, the colors in the sky where you can almost see, like, he must be drawing on those separations like we saw in that Superman, how they produced comics in 73. And then, like, the color stuff here is real interesting. And again, I think he's drawing, like, on the blue plate to overlap this yellow and magenta, you know, kind of that pink color, but you can see where it comes out, where the magenta falls off, and now this is a green instead of a purple.
Really, really simple line work on those buildings.
Yes.
And you gotta give it some life. You gotta do something with it. And to cast those shadows with the color plates, that can only be done if you're in very close communication with your colorist, or if you are the colorist.
Yeah, really cool. And good storytelling. You see, there's one piece of blue on here, and it's behind these running figures, cut to close-ups of these running figures. You know, they're running down the street to yell at each other or find his buddy or whatever. And these two are, you know, this is me growing up in the middle of nowhere and just longing for any kind of culture somewhere.
Yeah, you know,
these guys want adventure.
Yeah, you know who else it's like? Luke Skywalker. So once again, man, it's just like the regurgitation of the stuff that we all have seen in the flicks is just done over and over again in these licensed comics, every issue.
Makes sense, you know, sort of. I mean, you come there because you liked it in the movie or the previous issues. It's like, that's the formula.
Yeah, I guess. This is very good stuff right here. This is a great page, man. Boys are breezing past one dude's mom. You got to establish mom, very important for the story. Got to establish this old crone, very important for the story. And how you make it interesting, man, you don't stack up. Like, you see this in, like, more modern-day comics where they just repeat the same panel and maybe do a little bit of acting things.
Yeah.
But let's move the camera a little bit so you're not stacking these heads and these characters on top of one another. And it's more visually interesting this way.
Yeah, definitely. It gives you a sense of movement. Very static horizontal and verticals.
Yeah.
All right. Who else is coming to this planet? Who else is investigating?
Where is the rebel base?
I think this was a time period between Empire and Jedi, so there's no Han Solo here.
Right.
But man, very cool.
Luke Skywalker never looked that cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I love it. Seeing those characters, Jansen's so good at drawing. It's like he can make these characters look great.
Totally.
And you get a sense of the rebels and kind of the culture on this planet. Seems like the planet's a little indifferent. They're far on the outskirts of the Empire, but they do have a factory there. There is some employment coming from the Empire there.
Look at those outdated gums that we never got. We were too young for.
Yeah, I'm sure our teeth are thanking us for that. I like this kind of shot, too. Good compositions. This is Jansen just showing, you know, this is a thoughtful guy with a real good graphic intuition. Like that kind of super close up of your foreground characters and then over their shoulder of what they're seeing, that crowd. And these guys see some opportunity, these young men who are bored out of their minds on this planet. Like the rebels are Skywalkers here, man. That's a Jedi. That's a Jedi in our presence. Let's follow them around.
Super stoked on it, man. And you get the inverse of that, too. You got your spies, which you get in the fucking movies.
Yeah.
When they go to Mos Eisley's cantina, there's a little spies and stuff telling the Empire that they're there.
We thought we were going to see this guy get choked out early on when he questioned Vader a little bit. But Vader let it slide. You know, this is kind of where this guy operates. He knows this planet, so, you know, he'll be the guide there. But has some forces behind the scenes. Love this open panel. And again, the color, I just really like some of these color choices, like the purple looks great.
Good Zippitone lighting on that.
Shows off your light, you know, the yellow light from the from that bar. It's like not just that it's lighter in value, it's also a hot color. It's yellow.
Jansen draws a good Wookiee.
Yes, he does. And Lando. He looks good. Food hanging out of Chewie's mouth. It's fun to see. You know, like Jansen at this time, I would have been, you know, Daredevil would have been what I knew him from. It's funny to see like certain Daredevil-esque little bits of noir or like a crummy rundown street, but in the Star Wars universe.
For sure, man. Hard panel to draw, you know, overturning, you know, chaos, overturning the table. But he's got everything in there that needs to be in there to communicate the moment, man. But not an easy panel to compose by any stretch.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit of DeLuca effect here as Skywalker's rolling out of there and laying down some fire.
It's very impressive to the natives.
The choreography's great. It's, you know, like there's Skywalker coming through the window as Chewie comes through the door surrounding this guy that was on the outside shooting at them. I give so much credit to all the great choreography in Miller's Daredevils. Wonder if that's something Jansen picks up or something Jansen's contributing to, you know, also in the Daredevils, because it is like really great. All of these figures running around in a shootout and it makes sense spatially. Good luck.
A little suicide gimmick in this code approved book.
A code approved book aimed at young readers.
That's going to be on the Instagram whenever we, promote this thing.
Jeez. Wow. All right, so cut back to Vader, and he finds out that Skywalker's there, and now Skywalker knows that they know that he's there. And guess what? Commander, who's in charge of this region, you made some mistakes, man.
Vader's just blowing through these guys. What's an issue? You got to kill one of these red shirts.
We need your money shot here, Ed.
There it is.
The big choke scene. Yeah. I love this kind of panel, too. This is what I want out of a licensed comic is... How many times can you show these characters and make them look good? You know, give us cool shots of them whenever you get a chance.
And once again, man, we're keeping up. Like, the story's called Apprentice, so you got the right-hand man of Darth Vader there at all times, man, hooking shit up. And very indifferent to these force chokes. Why? Because he's seen it a million times. Why? Because so did we. Because we read, you know, every other issue for 3 years of this stuff.
Although 83, you don't have your own VCR probably yet, so you can't get to watch it over and over and over.
Yeah, just the rich kids.
That's why you need these licensed comics.
Right.
This is your fix. I love this night scene. So there's screen tone used like in different places throughout this comic. There's some gradient screen tone early on, but love this at night and the little bit of highlights to really draw your eye and your focus. And like, this is gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. This page is, this is a... You know, he saw the best of like the Al Williamson strips and was like, I can't be a dog turd.
It feels like Al Williamson a lot. And, you know, going into my full moon zine, double full moons. This could be the inspiration for the Frank Miller, Todd McFarlane, Wizard Spawn Batman cover.
More of the movie shit, man. Twin Sons of Tatooine. Let's get to twin moons of this goofball planet.
Man, I love Jansen's palette throughout this thing. Whenever he uses these colors, you know, a little bit of orange for this planet, it's great. Don't see orange anywhere else. It stands out. It pops. It gives you that alien landscape feel that I want out of outer space and sci-fi.
Magenta sand communicates beautiful night.
And contrasts great with the green, the cool greens of the buildings and vehicles.
That's the money shot.
Man, here we go.
That's the thing that you never forget once you see that.
So badass. So badass.
But
like,
guess
didn't
what?
Everybody love this shit to death after Empire? It was just like, this is the coolest stuff.
I love it so much that I would like to see them get tripped up with a rogue speeder and a tow cable. Can we please have that happen? And maybe have some people infiltrate an AT-AT even.
I don't know. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens. I don't know what else you can do with AT-ATs. And here they're marching out of this underground factory. I guess what brought the rebels there in the first place.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it?
look, they crash their car. The two kids that are just looking for any kind of action, they're racing to see what's going on here, crash their cars on their way.
Jim, and it's called a land speeder.
These AT-ATs are heading toward the city, the where everybody lives.
Uh-oh, dude might be dead.
And you see the foot, you see the pending disaster coming. That's a great scale shot.
It is.
That AT-AT feels so big with those tiny little buildings that it's he's just stomping through.
Yeah, it's good.
And they just keep coming, man. The rebels are doing their best to stop them. They are infiltrated, as you say. Lando and Leia have gotten inside of one of them. Love that idea. Let me land my fighter on one and take over another. With the lightsaber action. So they've got a couple AT-ATs. I think they stop all but one of them from the city, but that's all you need is one. It's a walking tank. It's really cool to see the comics, the melding of like comics conventions with the Star Wars sci-fi concepts and designs.
That's what I was gonna say. Like we're coming up toward the end of the story here, and this is another sort of trope of the licensed comic book. You do all the movie stuff, right? And you get all of those beats that you've seen in the flicks, right? But as you know, the great Jim Cornette and wrestling nomenclature goes, the writers often they get a little of their own shit in there, you know what I mean? And this is where we see the Joe Duffy stuff that passed the pitch meeting to make the comic happen. You had to get through all of that other nonsense. Like, let's get past that and let the story begins on page 30.
Look at how much rendering is on this face between the color, the screen print, and the ink.
He's got a couple of them.
Yeah, and so this is that callback. Like, we saw the mother early on. She was a casualty in this violence.
And he thought his friend was.
Yeah.
He thought his friend was dead.
Yeah, it's interesting the way this storytelling unfolds, right? So starts out over top of his friend, goes to his mother whenever he finds her body, and then meets somebody there.
Yeah, yeah, he gets the call, man. And it's dope because it could go either way. These guys were jerking off at the idea like Luke Skywalker and all that stuff, man. It could go either way. You see this look on his face, and some of the heavy-handed dialogue leads you to go one way.
Look at the visual here. These two, same color panels. Similar size face, totally different expressions though, of course, you know, over the course of this scene. And then whoever is appealing to him at this point, it's a different resolution on his face than the beginning, whenever he's scared for the worst, sees the worst, and now he's looking for some payback or opportunity for payback, meaning in his life. His friend did survive, and he's going up to the rebels by himself.
Yeah, man.
They parted ways. And again, you get that split, the two friends on totally different sides of the war.
Pretty cool.
It is. And I wanted this for the art is what attracted me to it. I think the art is stunning. And I think you're right, Ed. It does have that immediacy of like, I'd be curious how long it took Klaus to turn this thing around. Like, this feels like something that he drew real fast, but he's so good, it doesn't hurt at all.
He was the continuity on Daredevil for many years, and like, you know, many pencilers came through the assembly line while he was on there, and it was because of his speed and his reliability that kind of kept things on track for that book during their darkest days. He has a lot of tools that the average cartoonist just doesn't, and I think we saw a lot of that on display here.
It's funny, the appreciation of Jansen has changed so much in my mind. Like, when I was a kid, I liked him. I thought he was a great inker. And then I'd see like, oh, he drew this book. That looks really good too. And then I start to see like, he colored this book. That looks really good too. And of course, like, he's taught comics art. He's written books about it. You know, I think that he's definitely respected at this point. You know, we all recognize his level of craft is phenomenal. But I think for so long, he was so good in this system that's what he was, you know, kind of known for. It's like, let's do, if Jansen's name was in there, you sort of knew it was going to be of a certain level of quality. And you can take that for granted. You know, so I'm glad that at least I've come around to understand how great this guy is. And it's really awesome to go and find these comics where it's like art and colors. you're in for a treat if Jansen's doing art and colors on a book.
It's true, and he has his own palette. Like, I could easily isolate a panel and just... What's interesting about the color is it's kind of sketchy in the way his ink line is. You know,
yeah, the two really... Like, the line between color and ink drawing for him when he's coloring himself, that line is blurry and moves all over the place.
You even see it on here, like, which is, like, these weird little applications of this orange color, you know? It's a regular staff colorist, way more controlled and square when it comes to their approach.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I love it. I dug it. Very fun to go through this.
Good comic, man. K favors. Like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What you got?
Follow me at patreon.com/JimRugg. See lots of my art. Get some zines that are out of print. Can't find anywhere else. And patreon.com/JimRugg.
Patreon.com/EdPiscor. Serializing the Red Room comics for the early adopter. It's going to see print in a couple of months. But if you want a sneak peek, hit the Patreon, $3, gets the archive.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them one more set of merchant orders, Jimmy. We'll be on our way.
Read more comics.
May the force be with you.